you guys. It's the weekend, which means it's movie reviewing time once again.
Yeah, this is a cool movie I wanted to recommend to our regular listeners. This one's called The Omega Man. And, of course, it has the Hest in it.
The Hest.
And those of you who do not know who the Hest is, the Hest is also known as Moses or a.k.a. Charlton Heston. Moses was Charlton Heston. Charlton Heston was a Moses.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I endorse that statement.
That's how it went. Yeah, this is an awesome flick. I first saw this when I was a little kid, and it came on TV. And I wasn't really sure what I was watching. And I didn't really know what a mutant was or what biological warfare was. This must have been around 75 when I saw it. So that's probably about 6. And to me, it was just like a scary vampire movie with this guy running around in a car with a submachine gun. And that was all I needed to know. It was just awesome. Awesome movie. But seeing it recently, I just bought the DVD to add to my collection. I had a comment from some chick on our last video. Saying, nobody watches DVDs. Everybody streams. I said, man, I have a Blu-ray collection. I like to own something physical. If it's like a favorite movie type deal.
Yeah, if it's one that you're going to watch over and over again and you like to have a physical copy of it with all the extras and shit on it. Yeah,
I want a physical product. You know? Yeah. I mean, I want the cover. I want to look at the backside. I want all the, you know, the bonus features.
I'll only do that for movies I'm super, super into.
Yeah.
I don't have like a fuck ton of DVDs or Blu-rays or anything like that, but I have kind of, you know, several dozen that are like my favorite movies ever.
I just like to have the kind of like the pride and ownership. But of course, you know, we got a home theater with the, you know, that big surround sound system and everything. So, you know, I just like to rock it. So anyway, tell us about the movie, Jane.
Well, The Omega Man obviously came out in 1971. This was kind of like Charlton Heston's sci-fi period. He'd also been in Planet of the Apes, and he was a couple years later, he's also in Soylent Green.
Yeah, another good one.
Yeah, and these are kind of like a similar sort of theme. Probably everybody knows, but the movie is actually a loose adaptation of the 1954 Richard Matheson novel, I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Now, I Am Legend had been made into a movie before in 1964, and the movie was called The Last Man on Earth. It was made in Italy, and it starred Vincent Price.
Yeah, we saw it. It's a good movie.
And I have to say, of all the adaptations of the novel, none of them are really that close to the book. The Last Man on Earth is the closest.
Yeah, it's pretty cool flick.
Yeah, and it's still not the same. There's still like a lot of differences, but it's actually the closest version. And also, a fun fact, the Richard Matheson novel, I Am Legend, which was essentially a vampire novel, sort of, but the way that it was, that its story came across, and the way the movie The Last Man on Earth came across, the vampires were actually more zombie-like.
Yeah.
And George Romero has cited the Richard Matheson novel as his inspiration for Night of the Living Dead. He said his first screenplay version of the movie was pretty much a ripoff of the novel. So really, I Am Legend, I guess, can be credited with being the sort of thing that kicked off the entire modern zombie genre.
Right.
Because, you know, it's very obvious if you see The Last Man on Earth. I mean, you will see how the influence played out on George Romero and how the zombie thing happened. But in the book, they were vampires. They weren't supernatural. They were actually, it was, you know, caused by a plague, but it gave them the outward appearance of vampires. Like they were sunlight, you know, they couldn't go out in the sun. They craved blood and stuff like that. And because of cultural expectations, they were also like afraid of crosses and garlic and stuff like that.
Yeah. And if you saw I Am Legend starring, what's his name? Will Smith. And you think that you've read the book I Am Legend or you've seen The Omega Man just because you've seen Will Smith's I Am Legend, you're absolutely wrong. Will Smith's I Am Legend is basically a complete abomination.
Pretty much is.
Right.
And actually, I've heard, and I haven't seen it, but I think in 2007, 2008, they also made a made-for-TV movie called I Am Omega, which is based on the book, but doesn't credit it, which
really
classic.
That's something I got to see.
Yeah.
What did they say about that? Did they say it was bad?
Yeah, it got pretty mixed reviews.
Yeah, probably.
It essentially seemed like, I mean, and like the Will Smith version, that was essentially just a zombie. It was like 28 days later, except not good.
Okay, now, we're just talking about the Omega Man, the movie.
All right.
Now, Omega Man, the movie, here's the premise. It's basically a post-apocalyptic movie where there's only one man left in L.A. And he's being attacked by, I guess you could say, like a cult of vampires.
Yeah. All right. Although I don't think they ever call them vampires, no. really. They're
you find out, more like. You find out later that they're kind of scientifically plausible vampires. They're mutants. They were mutated by a biological weapon created by the Air Force. And Charlton Heston plays a guy named Neville. And Neville was working on the cure for that biological agent. He was the only man that actually received an experimental serum. And that's why he's...
That's why he's still
he's
alive.
He's still alive, and he is not immune.
He's immune, right. Yeah.
So it's a pretty cool flick. You know, he spends a lot of time going through abandoned hotels, abandoned theaters. He's got his house rigged up like this huge... one of the black vampires calls it a honky paradise.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's his, Neville's house is this brownstone building that he turned into a fortress, basically. It's got machine guns on the roof.
It's got barbed wire. Big floodlights because the mutants can't stand light and stuff.
Yeah, like. That's right. Now, yeah, when they mutate, they turn into albinos, psychopathic white-eyed albinos.
Yes.
They're being led by a guy named Matthias, who used to be a news reporter. And he's taken over, it looks like City Hall in L.A., and all of his followers are living there. And they're... And what they do is they have this cult that runs around the city at night, burning down libraries and anything that's technological. So because Neville basically is using technology, they see him as like a heretic and a relic from the past. And he's like on their list of to-do things. They're trying to kill him.
Their shit list.
Yeah, he's on the shit list. And Neville, in the meantime, just grabbed some of them and did experiments on them to try to cure them, and that didn't work. So Neville spends a lot of his time trying to hunt down where the nest is and figure out ways to kill them. So now, unfortunately, in this movie, they don't really show his war of extermination against
them. It's just kind of referred to. They just refer to it.
Yeah, he's already kind of like this legendary villain in the minds of these mutants slash vampires.
And essentially, that's kind of one of the things that, like I said, in a lot of ways, yes, this is based on the Richard Matheson novel, but it takes a lot of liberties with the core story. In the book, the vampires are pretty much just vampires. They're kind of feral.
Yeah.
There are a few later on that you find out that are intelligent and are starting to starting a new society and things like that. In this, the mutants are super intelligent, but for some reason, like after they become mutated by this biological weapon, they also, I don't know if there are other ones that don't want to join the cult or if you just automatically want to join the cult.
It's said that they all become psychopaths. Neville said that they become psychopaths.
And, so basically they're going back to the Middle Ages because they have this perception that it was technology and modern things that caused this cataclysm.
You're right.
So they're gonna take it back old school, and so they still do attack Neville, but they can't, they don't use guns, they don't use any modern weapons, they use just all pretty much medieval shit.
Fire, trebuchet, catapults,
spears, shit like that.
Spears. Yeah. One guy cheats and tries to use a pistol, but you know, he was really desperate. Still looking at them, they look and they kind of have the feel of vampires.
Yeah.
Like medieval vampires.
Yeah.
And these medieval, like, what do you call it? Like the Inquisition kind of outfits.
Yeah, they're like, they're monkish, like kind
monk
of.
Monk looking.
And at one point, they do capture Neville and they're going to burn him at the stake, you know?
Yeah, and they crucify little kids and stuff when you watch the movie. You'll
so,
see.
There's a really lot of Christian symbolism in this, which is like super, super obvious.
Yeah.
You know, some might say heavy handed. I don't think it was that
heavy-handed.
No,
it's kind of like a warped vampiric version of Christianity. Yeah, not so much Christianity, but more of like a vampiric version of the Inquisition.
Yeah,
similar. Anti-technology Inquisition.
Yeah, similar kind of thing.
Right.
And another thing that's running them, because this movie was made in 1971, there's also a lot of shit about like counterculture versus, you know, the old guard and stuff like that, with, I guess, Charlton Heston representing the, you know, the old guard, perhaps. And, you know, that they have a character also who's named Lisa, and she's kind of like a very stereotypical blaxploitation,
black power chick
kind of chick with an afro and everything like that. And So there's kind of that element as well. And then there's also the scene where Charlton Heston is like, he goes in the movie theater. I guess he goes like pretty much every day or every other day. And the only movie that's playing is Woodstock because that's what was playing when the end of the world came. So he's just watched it over and over and he has it like memorized.
Right.
So there's kind of that underlying current as well, which I don't think was actually intended from the outset. But the husband and wife that wrote the script, they thought it would be interesting to add this kind of culture clash element to it.
Yeah.
Interestingly,
I think it's one of the first interracial kisses went down on
it
this.
It might have been, yeah. Now, I think, the first interracial kiss was Star Trek, wasn't it?
I think it was just on television.
Yeah.
For but television. It might television have been. Predated it, but it was, Whoopi Goldberg once said that it was one of the first.
It's got to be one of the first ones. And, you know, I'm sure people like flipped out.
Which either
that,
it seems to always happen in some kind of apocalyptic movie or some kind of futuristic movie. You know, apocalypse, that's a good excuse to get a black girlfriend.
Well, that's what I mean. You know what I'm talking about? There's no one else
around. Man's got to do what he's got to do. You know what I'm talking about?
And that's what that's
the excuse you can tell your friends, you know. So,
if
you know,
anybody complains.
It was the end of the world, you know, I had to get some of that black booty. You know, that's the excuse they needed back
then. That's what Charlton Heston was allegedly saying.
That's what. Oh, man.
That was why.
And the chat was just like, man, it was another planet.
Yeah, see, that's how he got away with it.
It was in the future, it was in another planet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in the future. It's aliens. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. Everyone's fine with it.
I already
just
did a green one.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody complained about that.
Nobody complained about that. Spock.
Shit, but yeah. I have to say, we're going to probably disagree on this, but of all the adaptations of I Am Legend, like I said, I haven't seen the TV one. I've heard it wasn't that good, and it doesn't really sound that good. And the fact that they didn't credit the book kind of pisses me off. You know, I'm going to say The Last Man on Earth is actually my favorite adaptation because it hews closest to the novel.
It's closest to the book.
Omega Man, like I said, seems like it kind of goes its own way.
Yeah, I kind of consider Heston's Omega Man to be its own thing.
It's kind of its own thing.
And I really like the movie for that.
Yeah.
It's more of a post-apocalyptic movie. And it has a kind of a bio-warfare theme to it and a vampire theme to it going on at once. Last Man on Earth was good. It was really good. It was more kind of like a zombie movie, more like Night of the Living Dead, but it did stay closer to the book as far as I know the book. I haven't read the book.
Because really,
they're both good. They're different, but they're both good.
And I think that, I mean, the book and the Omega Man actually have two really different messages. I mean, I think the Omega Man was kind of more like Charlton Heston, and he was a scientist, and he had come up with the vaccine, or actually in the end, his blood ends up being used as a vaccine. And he's kind of like, you know, he wants to wipe out the mutants and get humanity back on track and like, you know, help everybody get back to the thing. Whereas the point of the book was that these vampires were actually like a new race of people.
Right.
And Neville was the last human being that wasn't infected. And he was just going around killing all these, you know, new race of people.
Yeah.
Therefore, he was the monster.
Right.
So, I mean, hence the title, I Am Legend, because he's like a boogeyman.
You're right. He's the monster.
They were all afraid of him. He was like the last remnant of an old society that was gone now, that was still trying to terrorize the new people.
Now, there's a lost scene to the Omega Man, and I've only heard of it. You know, nobody's seen it, you know, at least nobody in modern times. It's where Lisa goes to the cemetery.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. To tell her parents, or to visit her parents who have been dead, you know, of course, you know, their tombs. And it turns out she's pregnant with Neville's baby.
That's right, yeah.
And while she's there, she sees one of the mutants, all right, from the family, a girl who's mourning the loss of a newborn child. So she sees that and assumes that her child would be born dead too.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have the immunity. And she goes back and tells Neville that she saw one of the family members, or the mutants, you know, with a dead baby. And he asks her, well, you know, basically, did you kill her? She's like, no. He's like, what are you talking about? You should have killed her. But she's like, you know, who am I to kill her when I might be in the same, her shoes in a few days from now or a few months from now when the baby's born. And then he comforts her. You know, he's like, yeah, I didn't think about that. But that scene was deleted. But in the credits, you see woman in cemetery listed.
Yeah.
And that's what they're talking about.
Now, I'm kind of
wondering. They said it was a good scene. They let me want to see it.
And actually, I kind of wish they had left that in, because it would have introduced a lot of moral ambiguity that I right. don't think was really there in the movie. I mean, in the movie, it's pretty obvious that the mutants are bad guys.
Yeah, well, they'll kill you on sight. That's what I mean. And they're crazy.
You know, whereas yeah. in the book and in The Last Man on Earth, it's left a lot more ambiguous. Like, right. who's the bad guy? Is Neville the bad guy? Are the other people right. the bad guy? You know what I mean? Or are they the same as each other?
Yeah.
And I think they kind of got rid of that for them, which probably is why they took that scene yeah. out. Because they said, well, maybe that just kind of muddies the waters and we don't really want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, we want Charlton Heston to be the good guy.
It's a classic flick. If you haven't yeah. seen it, go rent it. I think you can rent it on YouTube. It's dated. Okay, especially the action. The action is yeah. has choreography along the lines of maybe a couple notches above a Star Trek original series. All right,
but not as fun as that.
But, yeah, not quite as fun. But it is a cool movie to watch.
Yeah,
I'd say that I really liked the scenes with Neville running around in the daytime on that baby blue Mustang with that Smith & Wesson submachine gun shooting at people running by the windows. That's pretty yeah. cool. The ending scene, the climax of it, wasn't quite done to say 1980s type specs. You know what I mean? If this movie were done in the 80s, it would have, I think, had a little more of a fiery shootout at the end that let you know, yeah, this is an end. But the way this one ends, it's kind of like, yeah, you know, Lisa lets the vampires into his apartment to capture him. He grabs an MP40. He shoots his way out of there. He ends up going to the middle of the street. You know, he brings Lisa with him. He shoots at the bad guy, who was Matthias. His gun jams. Matthias throws a spear, gets him. The sun comes up. He hands over his blood. You have to see the movie.
Yeah, like I said, Christ metaphor.
Christ metaphor.
Where his blood is going to save humanity. And also, he even dies in like a very yeah. Christ-like pose, like in the fountain and stuff.
And Neville really didn't go out with like a blaze. There should have been a good shootout scene.
Yeah, it was a little anticlimactic.
It was a little bit anticlimactic. There weren't that many family members. There should have been a lot more of them. There should have been about 400 of them, 500 of them. The movie should have ended with a big assault against his house, which is like a castle. He should have, like, you know, machine gunned a couple hundred of them, and then they eventually get to him. It should have been something like that.
Yeah, he would have been, like, overwhelmed by numbers. Yeah, you know? Like I said, like happens, like, in some of the better set pieces on The Walking Dead, where it's right. like, you know, you can exactly. fight a few zombies, but, you know, there's thousands of them coming at you.
Yeah, by the time the 80s rolled around, they knew how to end an adventure action movie. You know, yeah. and in the 70s, they were still kind of...
Well, the pacing is a little strange, and I yeah. have to say that I saw The Omega Man a lot when I was a kid, and then I didn't see it for probably 15, 20 years, and then I saw it about 3 or 4 years ago, and then we watched it again a couple days ago, and it's weird because it seems like a different movie every time I yeah. watch it. Like, I don't know if it's because I forget a lot of what happened. Like, it's kind of like Planet of the Apes, where if you haven't seen it for a long time, like, you only remember certain, like, iconic scenes.
Yeah.
And you forget all the shit that happened in between the Oreo filling of the movie, right. as it were. And, you know, so when you see it again, you kind of forgot all that shit. So you're just like, oh, yeah, yeah. this happened and then yeah. that. And there's really... I feel like The Omega Man, I like... the first half of the movie better.
Yeah.
When he thinks he's the only guy.
Right.
He's kind of... Yeah, he's yeah. kind of like... I mean, it's been 3 years, right? In the context of the movie.
It's better when he's on his own.
And he's like talking yeah. to himself. He's right. like playing chess with a bust of Napoleon or whoever it is.
Yeah, the vampire mutants come to his house at night and say, Neville! And all that.
Yeah.
Neville! And they're crawling and he's shooting at him with that infrared scope on that BAR. Yeah.
And he's kind of, you know, and he's cruising around in empty Los Angeles during the day, like trying yeah. to find these mutants and stuff.
He's jogging over dead people.
Yeah. And, yeah. you know, and also the shots, and actually it's pretty cool because the shots of LA.
Yeah.
That they, it's really, I mean,
eerie.
For 1971, yeah. it's pretty creepy how they got those, like every now and then.
You'll see a car.
Like
moving.
There's a car in the background like, yeah, that, yeah. they didn't get.
But they would clear the streets out to get that
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, they shot yeah. it on Sundays and stuff yeah. where everything was closed. And, you know, it wasn't like, you know, fucking later movies where they can just wipe people out with CGI or whatever. But,
right.
you know, back in 1971, they're having to, okay, everybody just get off the street. Yeah. We're filming some shit.
Pretty neat.
But yeah, so I definitely liked that more. It's like, as the story goes on and you discover, you know, and it's kind of cool, like when he meets Lisa, because yeah. you're like, oh, here's another person that's been walking around. And that's kind of cool. But like the more you learn that, oh, now there's all these other people and there's all these other survivors. Mm-hmm. It gets less special, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's much, I mean, I know you can't have a whole movie of just like one dude wandering around by himself.
I still think overall probably better than Soylent Green.
Yeah. Now, I haven't seen Soylent Green since I was a kid. So I'm not going to make that type of judgment.
It's better than the way I remember Soylent Green. Let's put it that way. And I saw Soylent Green about 2 years ago.
And the thing about Soylent Green, too, is that a lot of its iconic status is because of its twist ending, much like Planet of the
Apes. So the greatest people!
Right, and now that everybody knows that, it's kind of like it doesn't have the same impact. And I think I said the same thing about Planet of the Apes. It's like, now that you know, he was on Earth the whole time.
Now, one cool thing about Omega Man, though, is that they attribute a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger's one-liners that appear in the 1980s as what was used as the one-liners that were used in Omega Man.
Yeah.
Like, thanks, you cheating bastard, and all that kind of, the whole 80s one-liner thing.
Yeah.
Evidently started with
kind
this.
Kind of came from that?
From the Omega Man.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, I could kind of see because...
Like, I'll be back. Yeah. That kind
of
shit.
Because Charlton Heston's character in it was very kind of wry and sort of...
Him talking to himself. You know?
Yeah.
Your move, Caesar.
Caesar, not Napoleon. Yeah, Caesar. That's who I was trying. Why did I say Napoleon?
Caesar, that kind of shit.
Yeah, which is what would happen, like, if you were by yourself for that long.
Talking to yourself.
Yeah, you would, of course, talk to yourself because, there'd be nobody else to talk to.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I kind of like that aspect of the movie more. And kind of the same thing happened, too, with, like, the fucking terrible Will Smith version. Yeah. You know, as bad as that movie was.
Poor Will Smith. Because, you know what, had that movie been written the right way and done the right way, that would have been a really good movie.
Well, the thing that made me angry, one, is that it was essentially just, like I said,
a
crappy version of 28 Days Later. Yeah. You know, they were just these rage-filled running zombie creatures. Also, okay, they shot two endings, evidently.
Mm-hmm.
The one ending, Will Smith sacrificed himself to save humanity, kind of like happened in the Omega Man.
Yeah.
That was the ending that was showed everywhere else but the U.S., because we have to have happy endings, I guess, because we're lame. And also, they shot one which is the one that showed in the U.S., which is where he gets away.
Right.
And then there's like a whole bunch of, like a whole town, and yay, humanity is saved.
The problem,
but like I said...
The problem with Will Smith... Okay, like you said, what?
Well, no, like I said, that's the whole point of the book.
Yeah.
Is that the main character is supposed to be a monster.
Right.
It's supposed to be like a twist ending.
Exactly.
And none of the movies really get that except for Last Man on Earth.
I'm going to give you my take on Will Smith's I Am Legend. The problem with it was two major things. First of all, it was not a global pandemic. It was just an outbreak in a city that really ruined it. Any kind of feelings of isolation. That Neville has to have. It was just the city.
Yeah, see,
it wasn't a global pandemic. They were talking to him on a radio, so he wasn't alone. That was one thing that they did wrong. Second thing that they did wrong is that the mutants couldn't talk.
Yeah.
So there you go. The coolest things about the Omega Man and Last Man on Earth and the original I Am Legend is that the so-called vampires could talk. They were characters in the story. And, you know, you're supposed to be able to see things from their eyes, too. So they just dumped them down to, like, rage zombies that ran around.
Because, like I said, that was the whole point, is that you were supposed to flip the perspective around. Because the whole movie, you're supposed to think these mutants, vampires, whatever, were bad guys. But from their perspective, Neville was the bad guy.
Yeah, he was the last man on Earth, and he was a monster.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I mean. That was what the whole point of the book was.
Right.
And like I said, they did that in Last Man on Earth. Not so much Omega Man, but...
Yeah, and that was one of the problems, the minor problems with Omega Man, is that it didn't show Neville's campaign of extermination against the family.
And I think...
So he didn't have the monstrous quality that the family... The audience didn't get the monstrous qualities of Neville, you know,
because
they didn't see what the family went through. They should have had a lot of scenes with Neville just fucking them up with flamethrowers and bombs and machine gunning hundreds of them or dozens of them, you know.
Because it should be noted that in the book, now in every iteration of this novel, Neville is always portrayed as a scientist, usually a scientist that was working on something, you know, akin to that.
Yeah.
In the book, he was not a scientist. He was just a guy.
Just a guy who figured it out.
And he just figured out the biological agent that had caused the plague and things like that. But he only wanted the information about the plague so he could more effectively kill the vampires. He wasn't really trying to cure them.
Right.
He just wanted to find different ways of wiping them out.
I have hopes that one day a better version of Omega Man will appear. Not I Am Legend, not Last Man on Earth, but a reboot of Omega Man. And the way I would do it is it would be something along the lines of Mad Max. It would be a post-apocalyptic story. He's the last man on Earth. He's doing a campaign of extermination on these damn vampire-like mutants. And now there's a lot. You could do a lot with that story.
Yeah.
You might be able to make two or three movies of that. Well, one guy alone using all these survival tactics, making his own fortresses, you know, deathmobiles, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It would be kind of like a zombie movie, but it'd be vampires that could talk. They think he's a monster. He's the last of his kind. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean.
And
I
they
think
can't
they
use
could...
technology. He's using yeah. technology. And he spends all of his time being kind of like a one-man demolition crew, almost kind of like a reverse almost like a zombie movie. But
yeah.
imagine if you were the only one left. And you were the monster.
And like
and
I
the
said,
zombies were normal.
That's why the first part of Omega Man is the more effectively creepy to me, because
yeah.
you think that he's the only person left on Earth
right.
with all these mutants and
yeah.
stuff like that, which is way scarier
right.
than, oh, I just went down the street and found some people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it's kind of more alienating and scarier than, say, like Fear the Walking Dead, where there are groups of survivors.
Yeah.
You know, fighting zombies. In the Omega Man, you're only one guy left.
Yeah, because you have to think to yourself, what the fuck? It's kind of like a desert island scenario.
Right,
if you're
yeah.
like the only person, like how long would it take you to go crazy and stuff
right.
like that? But, you know, you have the added, you know, detail of like
right.
all these monsters that are like actively trying to kill you.
And they can talk.
Yeah.
And they have their own culture.
And they're intelligent
yeah,
and they have their own
yeah.
culture and they're trying to basically wipe you out.
Right.
Now, one of the things, and I should say this, I'm going to have a little bit of a criticism.
Yeah.
One of the things that I didn't like about the Omega Man is that, like I said, it's been 3 years, I'm guessing, since the plague spread and since everybody died. And evidently, these mutants have been trying to kill Charlton Heston's character for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, yes, he is in a three-story building. He's got the elevator all locked down and stuff like that. So you can't get in through the lower floors.
He's kind of converted into a minor fortress.
And he's it's kind of like a fortress and stuff like that. But the thing is, the mutants have catapults, like
yeah.
with fireballs in them and shit like
yeah.
that. And Charlton Heston, he lives up on the third floor. It looks like he stole like all the fine art from every museum in
yeah.
LA, which is kind of funny.
Made it a honky paradise.
He made it a honky paradise. He's got
yeah,
all
yeah.
the best scotch, like stocked
yeah.
him in there, which we would do, you know,
yeah.
I don't blame him for that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like close the upper windows. He just,
yeah.
you know, he likes to go out on his balcony and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You would think that, like I said, the mutants had a catapult, that they would have burned that shit down long ago.
One time they throw a little fireball in there using the catapult, and it does catch the curtains on fire, but he just uses a fire extinguisher, put it out, and then he shoots at him a couple times, get out of here, and they go, never!
Yeah. But that's what I mean. See, here's the thing, too. They never really show Charlton Heston sleeping. So, like, when does
yeah.
he sleep? Because, like, evidently, he goes out during the day, he goes to the movies,
yeah.
he kills mutants. But
yeah.
then at night,
he defends his palace.
He defends the house. Like,
yeah.
you would have to, because if,
yeah.
you if
think
they come out at night,
yeah.
then attack your house. I mean, you can't sleep because
they
could set
yeah.
your shit on fire and it would burn down with you in there.
You would think that Neville would be, you
also
know,
be nocturnal.
Nocturnal.
That'd you would have
word.
To be because,
yeah.
you know, otherwise they could sneak up. Because, like, later in the movie, you know, the lieutenant of the mutants,
yeah.
he basically just climbs up the side of the house, which he could have done at any time.
Yeah, he had I think it was a grappling hook, if I remember.
Yeah, he could have done that whenever.
But another thing is that the mutants, a.k.a. the vampires, whatever you want to call them, they can't use modern technology, but they allow themselves to use medieval technology.
Yeah,
like
they'll go that far.
So, if he's in a fortress, why don't they just use a siege tower? That's medieval technology.
Yeah, there's
a lot
of shit
they
could do.
You could just roll it up to the house, climb up the stairs of the siege tower, jump on his roof.
Yeah.
As soon as you get on his roof, you got him.
Yeah.
And you think they would have known about that. They had plenty of wood, plenty of time, you know, and there was a lot of
them. Because, I mean, yeah, he's got a lot of guns, but you
got
to run out of ammo sometime.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, no, actually, if you're the last man on Earth,
well, that's true.
There's a shit ton of
there's
ammo.
Enough
out there.
Ammo for everybody.
Millions of
well,
lifetimes.
Yeah,
of it.
But he can only, and that's the thing too. Like I always put myself in scenarios of like people in these movies. If I was Charlton Heston, which I am not, obviously, and I was the last person on Earth, and I was being pursued by mutants and stuff like that, it's like, you know, I can see how he likes his house and he doesn't want to move and stuff like that. I would just leave.
Yeah.
I would just leave.
Hest had good guns, though. He had a BAR with a infrared night scope on it. He had an MP40, an MK760. He had several MK760s. I saw that. And it looked like two MP40s. And I think he had a Browning M250. I think that might have been another movie. I think he had that up there on a tripod on his balcony.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I think he there was.
But yeah, so that was, you know, it's just hard for me to suspend my
lots of pistols. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It's because there was a lot. I mean, there was just one of him, and there was a lot.
Well, budgetary restrictions of the times. True. You know, you could do that. You could redo that movie today. It would just be awesome. I mean, look what they've done with The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody, like, with half a brain got it.
Yeah, they need to make a good remake for Omega Man.
And I would also still like to see a good and faithful adaptation of the novel, because there has not been one. No, like I said, Last Man on Earth is pretty close to the book.
Why don't you rewrite Omega Man?
You want me to do it?
I wonder what the license costs for Omega Man.
I don't know. I wouldn't want it. To be honest, I'm surprised they haven't remade it, because
that'd make a good series.
It would, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't, because there's so much like post-apocalyptic stuff people are really
I could play the Hess, man. I could play Neville.
Tom as the Hess.
Tom as the Hess, a.k.a. the Neville. Entering the Crustle Sphere. I'm gonna have the Crustle work on the movie just so I can be deeper into the Crustle Sphere. Have him doing something.
You got this all figured out.
I got it all figured out. Okay, let's shut it down.
Anyway, yeah, so if you like 1970s horror, so it's not really a horror
movie.
It's
good
more
one.
Of a sci-fi,
sci-fi thriller.
Sci-fi thriller type of movie. And
post-apocalyptic, too.
Yeah, post-apocalyptic kind of stuff. And if you want to see kind of where the whole post-apocalyptic zombie thing of today kind of had its roots and stuff like that. Well, first thing, I'd recommend reading Richard Matheson's book, because it's really good. It's not very long.
Last Man on Earth,
but
Vincent
also
Price.
Yeah, see, Last Man on Earth of Vincent Price, that's actually my favorite. A lot of people don't like Zoe. It's boring and stuff like that.
Last Man on Earth, I think, is on Netflix.
It might be,
It was on Instant Watch for a while.
But yeah, so that's the closest to the book. But the Omega Man, like I said, it's like a really cool, if you like Soylent Green, if you like Planet of the Apes, any of those kind of, even Logan's Run, if you like that kind of stuff that came out around that time, then you'll probably dig this, although I'm
it's
sure
like throwback sci-fi. There's something to be said for it. It's from a simpler time, but it does have its own message.
Well,
and it has its own charm.
It's very of its time, too, because there's all this stuff about Woodstock and Black Power and like the whole culture clash, but counterculture type stuff.
Part of the problem with sci-fi today is they're trying to make too much sense. And there's a certain amount of limitations when you're making too much sense. It doesn't have enough strength and wisdom to violate logic. There's something about that it has its own charm to it.
It really does.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know if you can get away with it nowadays. You could get away with it back then.
These fuckers are too smart, man. You can't
That's why. Because I think people were, I think people were a lot less critical back in the day. They'd be like, oh, yeah, that was, I suppose so.
Right.
You know what I mean? They just kind of,
I remember my dad calling bullshit on that shit, though, even back in the 70s. People were smart. The thing was, is that movies were about fun.
Yeah.
You'd see a weird ass situation, you have fun looking at it, go, oh, what I would do is I'd do this. It's that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Maybe everyone's too analytical.
They're too analytical and nitpick shit too much. Internet.
I don't know. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't, well, I don't know. Okay. I can't really say that I don't do that, because honestly, unless a movie like actively insults my intelligence, like I will generally roll with it. Unless it just gets so aggressively stupid that I can't take it anymore.
I can roll with Dune because I read the movie. I know what the movie's trying. I read the book, so I know what the movie's trying to say.
You
know what I mean? But making a movie about Dune is kind of like making a movie about the book of Genesis out of the Bible. You can't make a movie about Genesis.
Well, you can't.
Too many goddamn stories. Too many characters.
Yeah.
Too many characters.
Too convoluted.
Well, you know, imagine you trying to take the book of Genesis and make it an hour and a half long movie. You can't. But that's what they try to do with Dune.
Yeah.
Dune is unmovable.
They could do a series of it.
They could do a series. But it'd have to look like De Laurentiis' fucking Dune. They got the look and the feel.
And honestly, I love David Lynch, but Dune, I can't, it does not make any sense. And I read the book too, but that was like a long time ago. I have no fucking idea what's going on in that movie.
We'll talk about Dune another day.
Yeah, we'll probably do one on that too. Right. But I can't, it's hard for me to sit through because I'm just like, what? Why? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I like weird shit. I like, you know, shit doesn't have to make sense. It's fine. I can roll with
it.
Like
every bit of dialogue out of Dune is like the pontifications and statements that you would see out of the Old Testament.
Yeah, true.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's true.
And thus it has begun. The sleeper has awakened. All that kind of, yeah, okay, shut the fuck up.
So portentous.
Yes.
So anyway,
the mouse, the Muad'Dib, you know. Hand me the Gorm Jabbar. Okay.
No,
long live the fighters!
Nobody, it's just kind of like nobody in Dune, just like, I guess nobody in the Bible, ever is just like, chill.
No, they never say anything. It's always some,
hey, bring me a beer.
It's almost like a religious statement. The spice must flow.
Yeah, everything has to have this ominous, you know, portent kind of, which is like very, I mean.
Legions of Sadrukar.
Even Shakespeare characters made fart jokes. Come on. Lighten up a little bit.
Yeah. Fucking Dune's heavy. But we're talking about Dune and we're on our Mega Man video. Now, shut it down, Jenny. Do what you do.
All right. Shut it down. All right.
Shut that shit down.
You got it on your shitting pants?
Yeah, I got my shitting pants on.
Megan.
Yeah. All right.
So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this. God, we fucking ramble all the time, don't we? This rambling review of the Omega Man. With it's the
Saturday.
Best.
Saturday.
It's Saturday. We're not even drunk. I'm kind of caffeinated, but that's about it.
Okay.
But yeah, so...
we'll work something out.
Yeah. We'll work something out about being drunk.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to turn this shit off and go get to work on that. All right. So just remember, check out our Patreon, check out our blog, check out all our other shit on Facebook, Twitter, yada, yada. And we will see you next time. Bye.